Church, I'm excited. Praise God. We don't have a whole lot of time, so I'm going to step right into ministering as far as the Word's concerned. I want to start off with a testimony of an individual that I ministered to at work. This individual came on my job because he found out I was a Christian, and I train guys to run locomotive, to run trains, and I've had a lot of students. Well, this guy heard I was a believer, so he wanted to come on with me when he was training, so he came on with me. We got into discussion of the Lord, got into discussion of divine healing, and he was sharing with me that he was friends with two individuals that went to Assembly of God Church, and actually they ministered to him on a line of healing. And this brought the subject up, and so I was listening, and he was telling me, he says, I don't know if I believe in it or not. I says, well, what's the problem? He says, well, they laid hands on me, and I didn't get healed. And I says, well, what's the issue with your body? He says, well, I got severe sinus problems. And he says, it gets so bad that I have to have my ears lanced and drained. Well, this was a chronic thing. He says, I have it all the time. He says, I don't even know what it is to wake up in the morning and have relief where I can breathe. So I began to minister to him, and I just took the word. And I asked him questions. I says, let me ask you this question. When they ministered to you, did they share anything about the word of God? He said, no. He says, basically, they just said that believers will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I says, yeah, that's in the Bible. I says, but what you have to understand, when you're ministering to individuals, their faith comes into play. I says, when Jesus ministered, individuals' faith came into play, whether they received or not. So it gave me an open door to begin to minister to him. And what I'm going to minister today is basically what I ministered to him. Well, anyhow, we were working, we're running, I'm training him, and I'm ministering while he's running the train, and I'm sharing these scriptures with him. And I got him to the point where he started seeing what the word had to say. And I said, would you like me to pray for you? And he says, yeah. He says, I can see it. I see what they didn't do, and I see what that you're doing. So he says, sure, pray for me. So I laid my hands on him, and I cursed this infection or this chronic sinus condition in the name of Jesus. And I taught him how to begin to confess the word of God and begin to say. And we begin to say, by his stripes, he's healed, you know, and he continued along that line about 10 minutes. Now, I spent about an hour teaching him. Okay, I'm giving you this in a condensed form. And I got him confessing the word that by his stripes I'm healed, according to 1 Peter 2:24. So anyhow, we get in, he goes home. 2 days later, we get called to go to work again, and I pull up into this Exxon gas station right where the railroad yard is to get gas in my truck. He pulls up behind me, and this is like 5 o'clock in the morning. He gets out of his truck, and he looks terrible because he didn't sleep all night. And I said, how you doing? His name was Ted. I said, Ted, how you doing? He says, not good. He says, man, I can't even breathe. He says, my ears are all stuffed up. And he says, I'm ready to go to the Swickley Hospital. And I says, well, are you going to work or are you going to go to the hospital? He says, well, he says, I'm about ready to call off work. He says, because I'm so sick, my head hurts. And he says, you don't understand how bad this condition is. He says, this happens all the time. I got to get my ears drained so I get some type of relief. I said, then he says, well, I want to go to work because I ain't got no money. This kid just hired on the railroad and he didn't have any money. I says, well, come to work. You know, you don't have to do nothing. I'll run. You just sit there. So he says, okay, I talked him into it. So we're on a train, and he's just laid back, and he's in pain. So I started to minister to him, and he says, you know, this is what he said to me. Dan, he said, when I woke up after you ministered to me, I thought that everything would be gone, okay? And the condition was still there. So I said, well, I said, did you begin to thank the Lord that you're healed? He said, no. He says, because the symptoms were so bad. I says, well, let me teach you again. So I begin to minister to him again along the line. I could see he was derailed in his faith because he's being moved by what he sees and what he feels. So I spent another probably half hour ministering to him. And I says, now I'm going to lay my hands on you again. I'm going to curse the condition again, and I'm going to curse that ear infection. So I laid my hands on him again and cursed him, and I began to get him to confess the word of God. Within 20 minutes, his ears popped open. Okay, all the symptoms that he had were gone. When he went home the next trip, he came out, he said, when I woke up, all the symptoms were gone. He says, I could breathe. But here's what he said. I was so used to always waking up with that condition that it was strange to me that I didn't have it. I says, well, the Lord healed you. Now, the point I'm bringing out here is the man began to believe the Lord and began to walk this walk of faith, trusting the Lord for his healing, but ends up getting derailed. Just needs simple instruction again to get him rerailed again and on the right track to receiving his healing. And within a few days, the symptoms disappeared. So I'm going to minister to you basically what I ministered to him. So regardless of if you are healed or if you're standing for healing, you cannot hear enough of this. Because when symptoms are bombarding your body, it's very easy to just throw the towel in. Okay, I'm just being truthful with you. So my first scripture I'd like to go to is Galatians 2:20. You got that, Josh? Praise God. The Bible says here, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh. Now you're in the flesh, okay? Paul's saying here, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. As believers, you got to get this scripture within your heart. If you want anything from the Lord, it's going to have to be through the avenue of faith, because the life you're living now in the flesh, you'll live by the faith of the Son of God. Everything that you're going to access, the Bible says that God did not spare his Son, but gave him up for us all. And how shall he not, with the gift of Jesus, freely and graciously give us all other things? All other things come with the package of Jesus. That is what we call God's grace. He did it all. You had nothing to do with it. Okay, the Bible says Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world. You had nothing to do with that. It was the Father's plan. Okay, he orchestrated this whole deal with his Son and with God the Holy Spirit. And what he's ordained in this New Testament is the life that we now live will be lived by the faith of the Son of God. So the big key here is understanding faith, understanding the law of faith, understanding how faith is activated. And if you don't know that, you're most prone not to receive anything from the Lord. Because I can tell you this, I've been to denominations where they're not spirit-filled. My wife and I have been used in getting people baptized with the Holy Ghost, and we did it for years. Every week we've seen people getting filled with the Spirit. And you can go to denominations and you can see nobody spirit-filled. The difference is hearing the Word, the preaching of the Word, the teaching of the Word, then activating an individual's faith when they know the will of God concerning that, and getting them filled. It's no different with healing. It's no different with your needs being met. No difference with believing God for divine protection. So it's the key here that the life we now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I say it all the time to myself. I talk to myself, Dan, this life is to be lived by faith. I preparing this, it was by faith. Lord, by faith, I'm going to stand here tomorrow. I believe your anointing is coming quickly, speedily. By faith, I believe they're going to be hearing me, receiving me, and open hearts to hear your word. Okay, it's by faith. And when I sit there, an anointing come on me. But I've been giving them thanks all week long. All week long, I didn't feel it. It's just like witnessing. You'll never feel the anointing to witness until you open your mouth and start speaking. And next thing you know, you'll go, oh my gosh, did I say that? Where'd that come from? Okay, this is how this works. Please get a hold of it. Because there's so much criticism in this message. And the people that criticize this message have never really studied the message. And it really perturbs me because there's many people that are dying young in the body of Christ It's like Norville Hayes says, the Lord sits on the hillside looking down on his churches, and they bring them in by the wheelchairs, bringing them sick, and they take them out the same way. And Jesus sits on a hill crying because he paid an enormous price for their deliverance. And there's a lot of truth to that. So the life that we're living now, we live by the faith of the Son of God, so we have to understand faith. Faith is the avenue that brings you into grace. Grace is God's done it all. Hey, it's for you. And all you have to do is take it, receive it, claim it for yourself. So let's get into this law of faith. Romans 10, verse 6. Apostle Paul writing here. He says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Notice the righteousness of faith speaks. Get a hold of it. I told you when I was ministering to this individual, I had him confessing the word of God to get his faith activated. With him, he could come into agreement with me or whatever, but he still has to activate his faith through words. And you know, whenever you're ministering to somebody, don't be embarrassed to get them to do this. Because if you don't, you ain't getting them healed. I'll tell you right now, you ain't going to get them healed. And I've seen this over and over with people, my wife and I. It's the same thing with getting them baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you pray with me to get you filled with the Spirit, you're going to see me up here babbling with you to get action out of your mouth. But in that case, it's in an unknown tongue. It's not in a known tongue, okay? And what you're doing by beginning to babble your lips, stammer your lips, like the Bible says, you begin to call in the manifestation the Holy Ghost. You follow what I'm saying? But see, you're doing it in an unknown tongue. We're doing it in a known tongue where the righteousness which is of faith speaks. You follow what I'm saying? I'm using that as an example. In other words, if I speak in tongues right now, I just called on the Holy Ghost by my mouth. Okay? By my mouth. So the righteousness of faith speaks. And this is what Paul's saying here. I think sometimes when we read these scriptures, we miss. If you don't understand the law, when I read these scriptures, all I see is the law of faith, the law of faith, the law of faith. Mark 11, 23, man has what he says. The righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise, or this is how the righteousness of faith speaks. Paul says, say not in thy heart. Now he goes to the negative side. He says, don't say this. You get me? Don't say this. Don't say in your heart. No, let me say it this way. Don't sow in your heart. Remember, the sower sows the word. The mystery of the kingdom is that like a man casts seed in his own garden. It should sleep, rise, night and day. Now, you can miss all what Paul's saying here if you don't know these previous scriptures or foundational truths that Paul's building on. And he's writing a letter. And he's writing a letter to people he's already been to and ministered to. So you have to ask yourself, where's Paul getting this? Is he just grabbing this out here somewhere and saying, boy, this is nice, and pens this down? No, there was foundational truths that he always established on. And as I give you different accounts, you'll find out he says it different ways. So he's saying here, the righteousness of faith does not speak this way. Who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep or the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up again from the dead? In other words, I need healing. Paul says, don't say this. Lord, oh, if you just would come down here and touch me. Oh, if you just come down here and touch me, Lord, I'll be healed. This is what Paul says. The righteousness of faith doesn't say that. Don't say that. All right? Or, Lord, you are the good shepherd, my provider, my needs. If you just come down here and meet my needs, Lord, multiply my money and my billfold like you did the fishes and the loaves. Okay. Or Lord, I need your protection. Or Lord, I need you as the baptizer of the Holy Ghost. Please come down. Paul says, don't say that. The righteousness of faith doesn't say that. Okay? But, verse 8 says this, what saith it? Now he's quoting Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. He's going to the Old Testament and he's grabbing a scripture that God, through the mouth of the prophet Moses, already penned. But what saith it? Notice he's going back to the Word of God. The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Notice it's the word of faith. Notice it's first in an individual's mouth, then it's in their heart. Today, it's in my mouth, and I'm writing it upon the table of your heart. Notice it's always in the mouth first before it's in the heart. It was in the mouth of Jesus when he sowed it into the 12 apostles. You following what Paul's saying here? There's so much revelation in these four verses. It's first in the mouth and in the heart. And it's called the word of faith. And he starts by saying the word is nigh thee. It's so close you don't have to say, Jesus, please come down and heal me. Paul says, don't say that. The word is nigh thee. This is how close it is. This is how close he is. 1 Peter 2:24, whose own self bare my sins in his own body. And by his stripes I'm healed. The word is nigh me. That's how close it is. You don't have to ask him to come down. As soon as you begin to quote it, he is the word. He begins to manifest as the word. The righteousness of faith speaks. It always speaks. And if you ain't speaking, you ain't activating your faith. There's two things, the two ways you release faith is through words and actions. Period. I need protection. I'm worried about ISIS. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come nigh thee. The word is nigh thee. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart. The word of faith which we preach. God's word is producing the faith, and it's this close with the tongue. With the tongue, begin to activate it. This is what I did with this individual with the chronic a nasal and sinus congestion, had him speaking, by his stripes I'm healed. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Satan, I bind you. Whatever I bind on earth and prohibit on earth is prohibited now. And I prohibit your operation. I prohibit your buffeting against my body in Jesus' name. All right? And it was shortly after he got healed. About 20 minutes of manifestation took place. And he felt like $1 million by the time we got to Harrisburg. So Paul says, don't say in your heart. And he says, this is what we say. The righteousness of faith speaks on this word. The word is nigh thee, it's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, verse 9 is something that we use in ministering to those that want to receive Jesus as Savior. And Paul says right off the bat, but here's the thing. The law of faith is encompassed in all of this. I mean, it's all inclusive in these four verses. He goes on to say that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If is a condition. If is a condition. If you confess. What about a person you minister to try to get him one to the Lord? You're out soul winning. And you give them the opportunity. Would you like to receive Jesus? This is all you have to do if you'll confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead. And if that individual says, no, I don't think I want to do that. No, I've had them say that to me. Question, can they receive eternal life? No, because of their words. I don't think I'll confess him as my Lord. But you say to an individual after you minister to him, would you like to receive Jesus? And I'll say, oh, yeah, well, this is all you have to do. The work's been done. You had nothing to do with it. He loves you. He died when you were dead in your trespasses and sin. He died before the foundations of the world, the Father, in the mind of the Father. Would you like to receive him? Oh, yeah, well, pray with me. And you're actually not praying in the sense that you're asking. You're making a decree with the individual. And all you say, follow me with this simple declaration. That's what it is. We call it a prayer, but it's a declaration. Jesus, I believe you're my Lord and my Savior. I believe that you died for me. I believe that God the Father raised you from the dead. They just activated their faith. They are born again. These things work immediately or over a period of time, if you were here, that one message I gave you. Concerning salvation, it's immediately. Healing can be immediately or over a period of time. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is immediately. Believing God for finances, Lord, thank you that my needs are met. You're not even petitioning him. Thank you that my needs are met. What are you doing? I'm activating my faith. The righteousness of faith speaks, Lord, I thank you, my needs are met. You're my God, supplying my every need. The angels that are ministering spirits, I say they're loose. The money will come. Notice I haven't asked them nothing. The righteousness of faith speaks. And all of a sudden, God begins in your financial realm, causing your needs to be met, your bills and the money to come. But if you don't activate it, he's listening, and he has nothing to create. The Bible says he creates the fruit of the lips. And you're sitting there tight-lipped. I don't care. You have to start somewhere insane. You follow what I'm saying? You have to begin this process if you're going to walk this life of faith. And you'll have successes and you'll have failures depending on your development and where you're at. But you don't, just because you fail to receive, it's like this individual. If I didn't minister to him again, believe me, he'd have been turned off. Probably never be able to get him healed because he probably would turn a deaf ear because now twice he's been ministered to and he doesn't believe it. And what was lacking was teaching. That was all. The Bible says with the amount of thought and study that you give to the word is the amount of power and virtue that's brought back to you or that's released to you. It's all based on your study of the word and your meditation in the word, your thought and study towards what the word has to say. Then being a doer, it's like Jesus said in Matthew 7, he that hears my sayings and does them, he's a wise man, not a fool. You're always going to start out on the bottom rung of the life of faith because you're just learning it if you just learn it. There's areas that I'm more developed in than other areas. And one of the reasons, like with healing, is because I've been around it and I study it. It's an obsession with me as far as Bible study. I guess maybe it's because that's what the Lord wants me to minister along that line. Yeah. I mean, some people get into the end times, and that's all part of the message of the gospel. But I'm always centered around faith and healing and believing God. I live in the rotten here and now, and I want God's best. Amen. He's provided me with an inheritance, and I want it to be manifested in my life. I want healing in my family. You know, I want soundness in my whole household in every way. Amen. And it takes effort. Amen. It takes effort to study the Word of God and meditate on it. It takes time. Some things come easy, some things don't. And some things you're able to believe God for quickly and other things aren't. There's things I've been believing God over the years for. I just continue thanking Him and saying it. I heard Brother Hagin say this, and it liberated. This was years ago when I'm just first learning faith, and he makes this statement. I've been saying it for 3 years. Somebody's going to give this ministry $1 million. And boy, that went off in my spirit because I got an understanding of what he was saying. Okay, you following what I'm saying? The revelation of what I've been studying came to light by him saying that statement. He'd been saying it for 3 years. You follow what I'm saying? He's operating the righteousness which is of faith. He's activating it constantly. And it happened. It did show up. Now, the Bible says here on verse 9 again, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now that word saved, the Greek word is sozo. There's two words we're going to center in on here because people are reluctant to say certain things or confess certain things because they're not understanding the principle and also what God has done here. That word save is sozo. Now, verse 10 says this, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We have the word saved, and we have the word salvation. Okay, I'm going to get back to the other verses here, but I want you to get this picture of what these words mean. We'll start first with salvation. Salvation is a noun. This is from the Young's New Testament Dictionary. Salvation is a noun. The word in the Greek is soteria, S-O-T-E-R-I-A. Okay, this is what it denotes, deliverance, preservation, salvation, safety, health. Okay, this is how Young writes this out. The spiritual and eternal deliverance granted immediately. Now, salvation comes immediately. By God to those who accept his conditions of preparation and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom alone it is to be obtained, and upon confession. I mean, when I read that just floored me. That just floored me because that's what I'm preparing on. And the message, this message is confession brings possession of what you want from God, okay? And upon confession of him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord, for this purpose, the gospel is the saving instrument. The word is nigh thee. It's the saving instrument. Now, inclusively, it is to sum up all the blessings, everything that God has provided in Christ Jesus for you. That's provision, the baptism, soundness of mind, safety, everything that you need in life, that's all summed up in the blessings that is bestowed by God on man in Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Now that's how Vine translates this word, soteria, salvation. Now the word saved is the word sozo. And in Scripture it's used as saved, saving, saved with an ED. It's a verb denoting action. Sozo means to save. It's used as with the noun soteria, salvation, of material and temporal deliverance. Deliverance from danger, deliverance from suffering, deliverance from sickness. Inclusively, he says the same thing here, for all the blessings bestowed by God on man in Christ. So those two words, we're going to substitute different words. Instead of saying saved or so-so, we're going to put in there healed. So you get the understanding of what he's saying here, because it's all-inclusive here. Verse 9 again. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus, not as Lord now, but if we confess with our mouth, Jesus as healer, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, thou shalt be healed. You follow me? This is what this word saved means. See, I'm not just extracting something. I'm trying to get you to see this. But if you don't understand the law of faith, you read over these scriptures and you miss out on one of the great. In four verses, he expounds immensely on this law of faith. So then he goes here on verse 10, for with the heart man believes. Now there's a condition here. You have to believe this in your heart. With the heart man believeth unto. Now in this case it says righteousness, but we're going to insert the word healed. For with the heart man believeth unto healing. Okay, your righteousness, the Bible says in Isaiah, is of the Lord. That is the righteousness of faith. When you are born again, you are righteous. You got right standing with God. It's a gift. You receive it whether you realize it or not. You're righteous. Okay? Paul calls it the righteousness of faith. So he's giving you the principle here, but what he's using is the principle to give you the understanding of your righteousness. In other words, it came through the avenue of faith. But what we're going to do is substitute heal there. For with the heart man believes, notice it's unto healing. And with the mouth, confession is made unto healing. You follow what I'm saying? I'm making confession unto healing. That's what I said. Ted, listen to me. This is what the Bible says. Mark 11:23 says, you have the right to speak to the mountain. I want you to start saying, sinus condition, you get out of my body. So he started repeating me. Because I showed him the scripture. He saw it. He read it. He said, okay, I see that. I said, whosoever shall say, okay, that's you, Ted. Now you say it. You begin to say it, Ted. Begin to activate your faith. So you're making confession unto healing. You're making confession unto provision. You're making confession unto safety. You're making confession unto the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just thank you for baptizing me in the Holy Ghost. And take that step of faith and begin to stammer your lips. So you're making confession. It's the word that activates. The righteousness of faith speaketh on this wise. Okay? So you don't get, and when the devil tries to start bringing doubt to your head, like this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, this is what anchors your soul. All right? Now, let's go to Mark 11:23. Mark 11:23 says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, that's anybody, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. The righteousness of faith, what? Speaks. What's Jesus saying here? For verily I say unto you that whosoever, number one, shall say. He didn't say pray in this verse. He said say. The woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I touch but the hem of his garment. She said continually, another translation says. She was making confession unto healing. And Jesus just happened to be there. And because of her confession activated her faith, and her faith called the power to draw out of him into her. That's how it works, and that's how it worked with this guy I was ministering to at work. So it says, say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith. Now there it says again, say. There's a form of saying. Say, it shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. So there's three times that the Lord, within that one verse, mentions saying. Say, saith, and saith. I like something that Kenneth Hagin said was, the Lord spoke to him one time because he felt like he was doing too much teaching along the line. And when he was thinking about this, the Lord said, "It's my people aren't basically missing it in the believing part. They're missing it in the saying part. Yeah. And you're going to have to do three times as much preaching on the saying part than on the believing part." Now, here's an example. When you're witnessing to somebody, you got to spend a whole year telling them about the death of Jesus on the cross to get them saved? Or is it a simple message? Simple message. Hey, dude, hey, he died for you. You know, God raised him from the dead. Would you like to receive him? Without him, you're eternally damned. I'll be back next week. I'll tell you another sermon, you know. No. You just proceed on. Then give them the opportunity. And then it's up to that individual. If he says, yes, glory to God, let's pray right now. Let's make a decree right now, and the Lord will give you eternal life. And he honors it. I like healing school, but I've always said this. If you had the baptism of the Holy Ghost school, and you had to go 2-3 years for people to get spirit filled, boy, that'd be aggravating. Because I minister it in a few minutes and get people spirit filled. I've done it at work. I've had the Holy Ghost fall on them without even praying for them. It shouldn't be that way. Now, I'm not saying that we don't come to healing school. I'm trying to bring a point out here. I think a lot of times we make it more complicated. I think what's more needed is coaching along the line of faith. Coaching a person, it's just like coaching a person when you're getting them filled with the Spirit. If he sits there and he's all tight-lipped and you say, buddy, you're going to have to cooperate here. You're going to have to take that step and stammer your lips. Babble with me a little bit. You know, get your mouth going. You know, if they're all... Sometimes I like to go like this. I said to my wife, I'd never do this. Like, I got to get your mouth moving here. to get you to call into manifestation the Holy Ghost. This is how it works. If you do not get a person to confess or begin to move their mouth and their lips, it ain't coming forth. Then they'll go out and they think they didn't receive. The Holy Ghost is in them. But what we're looking for now is the evidence of tongues. Okay? So Mark 11:23 here is saying, say three times and believe once. So I believe it's a big key in getting people healed. You got to work with them to say. And if they buck you, then you just got to show them what the Word of God has to say. If they continue to buck you, there's not much you can do unless you have a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. And I've had that where my wife and I have just ministered to people and they were healed. I shared about the girl that we ministered to was in her 20s that had that mass on her chest. It disappeared first time I ministered to her. And I didn't even pray for her. Amen. I just ministered the word like I'm doing this to you. And she's still healed. When her mother seen my wife come into the baby shower, she broke down crying, knowing that her daughter could have been dead. Because it was a big mass. It was Hopkins disease. Yeah, and it was spreading through all her lymph nodes. Lymph nodes, thank you. I'm not a doctor. I don't even think I'm a preacher. But anyhow, she was healed, just hearing the word. Remember, it's the word of faith. The word is nigh thee. It's not off somewhere. It's nigh thee. It's in your mouth. So Jesus said, whosoever shall say. Now, I'm going to dissect this verse, and I'm going to say it this way, and I'm going to leave mountain out. And see if it harmonizes with what Paul said here in Romans 10. Whosoever shall say, shall believe, shall doubt not in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he will what? Have whatsoever he saith. Let me say it this way. Whosoever shall sow in his heart, let me see how this says, that whosoever shall sow in his heart and believe in his heart that those things which he soweth in his heart shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he soweth. Remember? The kingdom of God is as if a man casts seed in his own heart. See, your heart is your productive center. See, God ordained it where he gave you the reborn human spirit, recreated his ground. Healing starts from the inside out. It's produced by the word that you speak, the words that you sow within your heart. And as you speak, the Holy Ghost begins to get activated. And he begins to listen. And he begins to create what you're saying. That's why James says, be careful what you're saying. Because a man can deceive his own heart. Because you're saying things that you really don't want to come to pass. But what you've done is you told your heart, this is what I'm saying. And words are seeds, and your heart begins to produce stuff. And that's why stuff happens to people, and they don't even realize that it's happening to them, because they curse everything and they're negative. When they walk in the room, the lights go dim because of their negativity. Right. You ever been around a person like that? It's terrible. We call one guy at work the prophet of doom, man. The lights go when you come in the room.
Darth Vader. Yeah. Where are you at, Luke?
So that's what he's saying here. Whosoever shall say, shall believe, shall doubt not in his heart, but believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he saith. Now, doesn't that harmonize with what Paul's saying here? So in other words, when you're finding these things out when Paul's penning them, you have to ask yourself, where is he getting this? He's expounding. In those four verses, he expounds even more. Because he ties in righteousness. He ties in salvation. He ties in saved, so-so, and soterior, you know. All the deliverance that God has for you, healing and health, safety, it's all wrapped up in this. The word is nigh thee. What do you want? Get it in your mouth. Begin to say it. All right, so there's the key there in this verse here is saying is mentioned three times. Believing once. Now I want to give you what confession, what it actually means, the word being defined here. To confess means to acknowledge. It means to own up to or to acknowledge faith in. Okay? You're acknowledging faith in when you're saying, by his stripes I'm healed. This is what confession means. I'm acknowledging faith in that I am healed. I'm acknowledging faith and he's my God supplying my every need. I'm acknowledging faith and he is my safety and my protector. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it's not coming nigh me. I'm acknowledging his surely goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life. You following what I'm saying? That's what confess means, to acknowledge or to own up to or to acknowledge faith in. Now, confession is actually three things. Number one, confession is stating something we believe. It's something you believe. Just like when you hear the story of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, when you make that confession, you believed what was told you. I'm trying to make this as simple as possible. Okay? When you hear that he died and by his stripes you're healed, you believe that. Therefore, you confess it. All right? Confession is declaring something we know to be true. That's something you take hold of by faith. Confession is declaring something we know to be true. And confession, the third, is proclaiming a truth we've accepted wholeheartedly. I accept wholeheartedly that I'm healed by His stripes. All right? In other words, your confession is a proclamation. That's what it is. It's a proclamation of what you know to be true. Your confession states what you believe. I believe Jesus died for me. Well, how you know? Do you ever see Him? No. I believe the story. I believe the account. That's what believing is. Believing is a decision. Yes, I believe. You can hear it, by His stripes you're healed, and you just, yes, I believe that. Okay? Just like you believe that Jesus died and was resurrected. Don't stumble on belief. You didn't stumble on it when somebody shared Jesus with you. You didn't have to hear 15 million sermons on it. You simply believed it. And you acted. And you confessed. All right? Your confession declares something you know. And your confession proclaims a truth you have accepted wholeheartedly. Okay? If you didn't write that down, just get the CD. We'll have it on. CD's made up. But anyhow, now the next scripture I wanted you to go to is Philemon 1:6. And I'm going to be closing here because we're going to be short on time here. Philemon 1:6 says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. This is Paul writing. He's writing and he's making the same decrees that he made in Romans 10, but he's condensing it. He's summing up Mark 11:23. He's condensing it. He's saying here, your communication of your faith, that's the sharing of your faith, becomes effectual. The word effectual there means working, operative. Your faith becomes operative, working, activated by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ. To acknowledge means to say. See how he's condensing this? All right. Okay, I'll go real fast here. The law of this faith is that I confess I have attained the promises of God's word before I consciously possess them in the natural realm. Okay, you have to believe the promises in God's word are true for you. Confess them for yourself. Then you possess them. So what Paul is saying is your faith becomes effectual when you acknowledge. I acknowledge that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Okay, let me say this. He says your faith is working. If you begin to acknowledge to some degree your faith is working, this is what he's telling you. He's expounding a little bit differently than when he expounded on Romans 10. He says if you confess or if you will acknowledge, your faith is effectual. It's working. It's working. That's what he's saying here. It's operative to some degree, depending where you're at. So you always want to first begin, the word is in my mouth and in my heart. You want to begin to acknowledge that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. And that's what I did with Ted, and Ted got healed. Amen. I'm going to close here because we've got to start our service, but praise God. I hope you got something.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now it's time to receive right now. Amen. You know, when I was thinking when I was in grade school, they had a separate class for people that were having problems with speech. You know, they called it speech class. And, man, I certainly didn't want to be a part of that. You know what I'm saying? Because those kids got labeled. You know what I'm saying? But now that I'm thinking about it, we're all in speech class now. Amen. God's teaching us how to speak. He's teaching us how to talk. Amen. The first thing I ever taught my dog was how to speak. You know what I'm saying? If he wanted that little biscuit, we taught him to speak. course, he didn't speak English, but we speak the word of God. Amen. Now, what I'd like you to do is let's stand up here. We're going to do this real quick. Lay your hands on yourself. We're going to speak over your body right now. I'm going to lead us in a confession of faith. Thank you for that wonderful teaching, brother. Hallelujah. Now, say it out loud. Say it with conviction because you do mean it. Amen. And as you say this, you know, it's kind of like today. You know, when I was a kid, my mother would take baths every night, you know what I mean? And she'd have to fill the bathtub up. Well, you kept seeing it rise and rise and rise, you know? Well, faith is like that right now. It's rising up in our hearts. So we want to release that right now in our physical beings. Amen? Close your eyes. Say this with me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
The word has been spoken.
The word has been spoken.
That it might be written.
It was written
that it might be spoken.
I take your word
and I speak over my body right now.
I command healing
and health
to
flood
every cell of my body.
Those trillions of cells,
I call life
into my body right now.
And with his stripes,
by Jesus' stripes,
I am healed.
Thank you
for health
in Jesus' name.
Let's praise him.
Thank you, Lord.
We bless you.
We bless you. Bless you. Bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
One last thing I'll say. This is I was listening to Brother Kenneth Copeland last night, and he said something that was really ministered to me. And he said this. He says, the devil will always tell you when it comes time to releasing your faith or praying, he will always whisper in your ear, not literally, but in your thoughts. He'll say, you don't have enough faith. They do, but you don't. Preacher does, but you don't. He's a liar. Amen. You got the greatest miracle that ever happened when you got saved. That's the biggest miracle, and it happened with this mouth. Amen. Everything else is on a lower order. If we did the hard part first, we can do everything else. Amen. So be blessed. Take a little break here. There's coffee and stuff back there, and we'll get started at 10:30. Bless you.